It was far from an easy night for Liverpool, but despite defeat to Inter at Anfield after a Lautaro Martinez stunner, the Reds move on to the quarterfinals. Also into the last eight, the team that hit seven. A huge win for Bayern sees them progress past Salzburg. We review the latest round of 16 action and look ahead to Real Madrid versus Paris Saint-Germain on Match Day Live. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and with me to reflect on tonight's two round of 16 second legs are commentators Richard Connolly and Jonathan Beck. Hello gents. Jonathan, you can get us going first. Liverpool just about did it, but Inter were tremendously impressive on Merseyside.
Yeah, they were great, great value. This is an Inter side that have not been great recently domestically. Now, they had to find a way to win against Salernitana, and they did by 5-0. But prior to that, they hadn't scored for four games, but they got the only goal tonight. They were undone just moments after that. Lautaro Martinez with a peach of a goal, his 16th of the league and the European Cup this season. But Alexis Sanchez getting sent off for a second yellow card just 2 minutes later. And despite a decent, brave effort in the closing stages, they just didn't have enough left in the tank.
OK, we'll further review that game shortly. Richard was watching Bayern's demolition in the end of Salzburg.
It was some watch, Rob. It really was. I have to say, Salzburg did shake Bayern in the first 10 minutes, having shaken them in the first leg, undoubtedly. But after Bayern got in front with a Lewandowski penalty on 12 minutes, they were 4-0 up at half-time and eventually ran out 7-1 winners. And some of the goals were things of real beauty. Big-time players, big-time experience, and Bayern got the job done with plenty to spare.
They certainly did. With Jonathan, Richard and myself, as well as European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, we're going to preview as well Real Madrid against Paris Saint-Germain, probably the standout headline round of 16 tie, but not a bad way to start the week.
No, I thought that of the two, Salzburg might have a better chance of causing an upset than Inter. How wrong I was. They came very, very close, did the Italian champions. I think tonight was about proving that they belonged back in the top echelons of the European game, and I think they did that. Full time, you saw an awful lot of pride from the travelling supporters and their players that they had come to Liverpool and won. Very few teams do that. So they will take that tomorrow and next week and next year on, but they'll be disappointed Inter because they had all of the momentum, and then that sending off hurt them so badly. And as for Bayern, well, if this was the biggest test of Julian Nagelsmann's short reign in charge, I would suggest he's passed it fairly well.
He certainly has. Okay, confirmation of the round of 16 second leg results on the Tuesday. Bayern 7, Salzburg 1. That's an 8-2 aggregate victory. And Liverpool 0, Inter 1, but Liverpool going through 2-1 on aggregate. Let's start with events at Anfield first. And of course, Inter trailed 2-0 from the first leg.
Martinez again looks up and drives a brilliant goal. Right footed from the edge of the area and beyond and into the corner. We have a game at Anfield now. Inter's fans behind the goal are making big party time now. Liverpool stood off Martinez and he made them pay. It is Liverpool 0, Inter 1. It is 2-1 to Liverpool on aggregate, but what have Inter got left now?
Well, it was a stunning goal that won the game for Inter on the night. But the red card was pivotal, and we'll get to that. Liverpool on the night, going with Curtis Jones in central midfield, Inter not playing Edin Dzeko, going with Alexis Sanchez. And Jonathan Beck, we just heard your commentary there. How did that shape the flow of the game in that opening 45? Because every time I looked up, because mainly watching Bayern first half, Inter were causing Liverpool problems, it appeared.
They were pressing Liverpool as much as Liverpool were pressing them, and that's not what we expected from Inter, because most people expected Edin Dzeko to line up, having got a couple of goals last time out and had a decent record against Liverpool. But what Alexis Sanchez gave them was that energy, that that sort of beavering away up front, the ability to give Liverpool's defenders trouble on the ball rather than be a focal point for the attack. So the ball didn't go up long too often. It did go through the middle quite often, and Sanchez would pick it up and run and put pressure on Van Dijk and Joel Matip, particularly when Linter had the ball. But also, he was the one leading the press when Liverpool had the ball, and there was a couple of early occasions Van Dijk didn't look his usual composed self. He stumbled over the ball, he put it out of play, he was really looking a little bit flustered, which we're not used to seeing with Virgil van Dijk. So from that respect, it did work. Had he been able to time his runs better, there was a couple of excellent through balls to try and find him where he was straying offside too often. But that apart, I think it was a decent decision by Simone Inzaghi.
Yeah, I thought he got the game plan absolutely spot on, that they came to frustrate, to rattle Liverpool, to almost play the way that Liverpool play at Anfield. It was very frantic. They were at them. There were some late challenges. There were two late challenges from Alexis Sanchez that led to him getting sent off, unfortunately. But they were for the most part they were on the line of what is fair, and it caused Liverpool some real hurt. And you don't see that at Anfield very often. And they got the goal. It was a very special strike. You heard the commentary from Jonathan. It'll be a goal of, I would suggest, the season contender in this season Champions League. He hit it so perfectly
from outside
the box.
Just seemed to rise off the ground, didn't it, a little bit before he hit it?
And it just bent away from Alisson after he... It was a thing of beauty. And at that stage, when that went in, you thought, I can see extra
time
now.
And
they'd
had chances, hadn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they'd just been knocking on the door. Liverpool looked really sluggish at that point.
Yeah, they had a really good 10-minute spell before that goal, Jonathan. We have to say, they rode their luck slightly. I think Liverpool hit the woodwork three times. Mo Salah missed two chances you would expect him to score. But the way that Inter approached the game, I thought, they kind of deserved that slice of luck that they got.
Yeah, I think so. They played, as you say, the Liverpool way in Liverpool's backyard. And it almost paid off for them. Had Sanchez stayed on the field, we'll never know. Mm. But that was their moment. Liverpool had given the ball away under pressure on two occasions prior to that. Matip tried to play a ball down the line. It was intercepted, kept in play, recycled by Alexis Sanchez. And then we had that wonderful hit from Martinez, who is clearly in excellent form now, having scored a hat-trick and now won at Anfield as well, having barely troubled the statisticians so far in 2022. But they'll pay the price. And they did pay the price for a little bit of stepping over that line that you talked about.
OK, well, let's get to it then. Obviously picked up the yellow card for a rough challenge in that first half, Alexis Sanchez. The issue being there, your team have just scored. You can't be flying in like that again. But I suppose the counter might be that level of aggression from Inter was matching Liverpool, causing Liverpool problems. But he just stepped over the line and caught Fabinho, wasn't it, I think, for the red card.
Yeah, Fabinho for the first one. He actually drew blood from Thiago Alcantara for the first half challenge, which was a little more rash, I suppose. It was the follow-up. He got the ball this time, followed through on
Fabinho. Yeah, he went through, yeah.
And that was just maybe the exuberance of just having scored and being a part of the goal and sensing the night was starting to come their way. Maybe it all played in, you know, he
gave
was
Anfield
so
a little
hard.
Lift, didn't it? It felt like that anyway. And then we had the Inter coaching stuff. And you sense that was a bit of a relief for Liverpool, really, Chris?
Completely. I mean, the two things. One, the comment from Jurgen Klopp before the game that Inter aren't here as tourists. Well, that was most definitely the case. And also, you know, Liverpool will always sing "You Will Never Walk Alone," right? When they're comfortable, they think, OK, we've won the game or we're going through. Didn't hear a rendition until after full time. No one in Anfield was confident that they were going through until the very last whistle. And, you know, I wonder, we may hear, Edin Dzeko wasn't one of the five subs that Simone Inzaghi brought on. I wonder whether he was not quite fit enough. Otherwise, that would seem a surprise that you wouldn't bring on your top scorer before this evening anyway.
Didn't see him warming up either.
Didn't see him warming up. So that may come out, you know, after we're speaking, as it were. But if that is the case, then that's a big blow for Inter. Because had he been on the pitch, had Alexis Sanchez not got sent off, you really could have seen them taking that to extra time. I mentioned in the commentary, it felt a bit like 2 years ago when Atletico came to Anfield and won, and no one really thought they were going to win. And they bullied is the wrong word, but they upset Liverpool, Atleti did, and they went through an extra time. Inter played a similar game, and it almost worked. And there'll be other teams will have watched this evening and will have watched that Atleti performance and think, okay, if we draw Liverpool in the quarterfinals, maybe that's the way we need to play. Because trying to trying to play Liverpool in any other way doesn't seem to work, given how many games they win, particularly at home.
Yeah, and they're right in it. You know, if they had managed to push it, even though they've lost, they've won, you know, on the night, and this will give them a boost. You know, they're 2 points behind Milan. They've got a game in hand there. 0-0 at halfway in the two-legged Coppa Italia semi-final, so they've got a chance to do one over their city rivals and get to the final of that. You know, they could yet win the double. You know, they're not going to win the UEFA Champions League now, but they are still pushing to go back to the top of Serie A, which, you know, when Antonio Conte left and the way they started this season, people didn't think was going to happen.
Yeah. In terms of what was happening with Liverpool tonight, they did look slow, running intriguing a little bit at times. Mm. Just looking at their fixture schedule, they have had a lot of games. They had that victory they had to grind out against West Ham on Saturday. Did rotate a fair bit for the FA Cup win against Norwich, but of course the extra time, the drama of the League Cup final against Chelsea. Do you think that played some part, Jonathan, in why Liverpool were slightly struggling to get going, and was it more what Inter were doing here?
I think, yeah, there's a bit of, but there's definitely an argument for that. It's definitely what Inter were doing, because I think that would have surprised Jurgen Klopp, who every prediction you read and every Italian paper you read, you know, these people who watch the team and who know the team and who have sources in the team, said that it would be the team that we saw, but with Dzeko in there. So doing what they did, it surprised not only the seasoned watchers in Italy, but it also surprised Jurgen Klopp. You've then got the rotation with Henderson left on the bench and Naby Keita, who's played recently, left on the bench to give Curtis Jones his chance in a game of this magnitude. You know, Joel Matip is in because Ibrahima Konate not risked. You know, we've got, Jurgen Klopp says, cover enough now. It isn't like the other season when Van Dijk was missing and Matip was injured and Joe Gomez was injured. Gomez wasn't actually involved at all. He stayed on the bench. You know, so he was another option to come in, but, you know, he trusted the players that came in. But I think that just gave them, you know, that little bit of sort of, they were one step behind at times because they didn't have those sort of, the almost unthinking knowledge of where everybody is and the passes you make and the runs you make, because the players that played week in, week out weren't there from the start.
Okay, let's get some reaction for the Liverpool camp. Mo Salah has been speaking.
Yeah, I think it's a tough team. Even the away game, they were very good. We managed to win the game away. But today, we're struggling from the beginning. Then we managed to hold the ball in the second half more once I get the red card. So it's the most important thing, we qualified. So hopefully next game we're going to be better.
Yeah, Mo Salah acknowledging that Liverpool didn't have full control of the game. Of course, Milan Skriniar, the UEFA player of the match. There were some brilliant pieces of defensive play as well from Inter, Chris.
Yeah, it was some throwback defending, actually, and he was a real warrior at the back. It was a typical Milan Skriniar performance. He and Inter will take a lot from this. For all of their excellent work domestically, even under Antonio Conte, they couldn't even get out of the group stage. So it's been a successful season, I think. They've reached the last 16 for the first time in almost a decade. They've beaten Liverpool at Anfield. So when we come round to next September, I think they'll look back on what all the things they've done right. Unfortunately, they couldn't quite force this tie to extra time. And for Liverpool, I think, is it four times in five seasons
That's
they're
right,
into the
yeah.
last eight? That is a serious level of consistency. And again, they will go into the quarterfinals despite this defeat as, for me anyway, one of the big favourites to win it.
2019-20, the only time in recent seasons, the aforementioned Atletico game. OK, more from Chris and Jonathan shortly. Let's turn our attention to Munich, where Bayern took on Salzburg. This was evenly poised after the first leg, which finished 1-1. Second leg was watched by Richard Connolly.
It's Lewandowski from the penalty spot. The Bayern number 9 takes a deep breath, steps to his side, then stutters, steps forward and scores. They're in front on the night by 1-0. Bayern one up already. Here comes Lewandowski again. He hesitates and he rolls it into the corner. Bayern 2, Salzburg 0. Werber against Lewandowski. It's rebounded off the goalkeeper. Lewandowski's got another. He's got a hat-trick inside 23 minutes. It was a real mess at the back from Salzburg. Poor Max Werber, but Bayern have 3 goals in the first quarter of this game. Coman's won it back, he's done some really good work. Here's Gnabry, it's 4! 4 in half an hour for Bayern München, and they are rampant against Salzburg. Gnabry makes it Bayern 4, Salzburg 0. Here's Kimmich for Bayern, forward to Sane. He's looking for a return ball. Müller turns and thrashes it home. 6-1 on aggregate now. Salzburg coming forward here, have a chance, and they've got a goal. They've got a goal for the 18-year-old Moritz Kjærgaard. A big moment for him to remember. Applauded by the coach. They'll have something to take from Munich. A little memory from the Fußball Arena München. 5-1 now on the night. 6-2 overall. It's Leroy Sané elected to find Müller. That's a super goal. On aggregate, 7-2 on the night. It's Bayern 6, Salzburg 1. Lewandowski's back heel. Sané round the back. Drills it home. It's a marvellous goal, this time from Leroy Sané. And 7-1 is the scoreline.
Yeah, staggering scoreline in the end, and 8-2 on aggregate. Richard Connolly, you heard him there, joins us now. Richard, let's go to those opening moments then. I mean, we and Chris certainly as well, build it as a game where we really thought Salzburg were going to take the game to Bayern. And they did, actually. They did nearly score very early, and it could have been very different.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it was a terrific game, and it was a terrific effort from Salzburg in those early stages. I've written down a couple of sentences. Started as a major test for Bayern, ended like a training game, and away goals don't count anymore at this level of competition, but home advantage most certainly still does, because Bayern are going to be very, very difficult to dislodge, and all the more so when the full crowd is allowed back into the Fußball Arena München. I think Salzburg are going to come in for some criticism, guys, because they play with a high line and they push forward and they try to be aggressive, and when you do that against a team of Bayern's quality and experience, you can get punished. But they did trouble Bayern in the first 10 minutes. I know it's only the first 10 minutes, and maybe the first few goals that went in were not deliberately as a consequence of them playing such a high line. Individual errors certainly cost them, and the brilliance of Lewandowski punishes them. And when you are 4-0 down after 31 minutes, as they were, there's not a great deal the coach can do to try and steady the ship, because the ship has already left the dock and you are going to be out of the UEFA Champions League. I admire the way that Salzburg gave it a go tonight. And some will say that they were a little naive. They were caught out by brilliant finishing. They contributed to a super tie. The first leg was a terrific game as well.
Yeah, and there was the block from Kingsley Coman, the effort, I think, Richard, from Nicolas Capaldo, right?
Yes.
At 0-0. At that stage, you thought they're going to score the first goal here, and it's going to be very, very interesting. And look, from a neutral point of view, I hope there are more teams like this, because you know you're going to be in for wonderful entertainment. I definitely get the argument that is it a bit naive to play this incredibly almost expansive game against one of...
It fared them well, didn't it, the first leg?
It did. And there's the argument against this Bayern team who basically picked six attackers, including a front three of Müller, Sané and Lewandowski, with the wing-backs being Gnabry and Coman. If you try and sit back against that, they're probably going to score against you at some stage, aren't they? Anyway?
Yeah.
You know, I just... They didn't quite get the luck that they probably needed in order to not Bayern out. And yes, I know that might sound silly because Bayern have scored seven, but the early exchanges exposed some of Bayern's defensive vulnerabilities. But, you know, to score seven goals in any last 16 tie... I mean, Bayern have done it before against Basel, but... I mean, it's a memorable night for them and for Julian Nagelsmann, who for once was playing against a coach who's younger than him. But this is a pretty good first knockout stage match in the Champions League for him in charge of Bayern.
Well, tonight's 7-1 victory was the seventh time that Bayern have scored seven goals in a Champions League game, more than double that of any other team.
Seventh time?
Yes, that's crazy. And on Lewandowski, we've got to get to him here, Richard. He is the UEFA Player of the Match, unsurprisingly. He completed a hat-trick within 23 minutes. That's the earliest hat-trick ever scored by a player in Champions League history. It's overtaken Marco Simone for Milan against Rosenborg in 1996. 24 minutes, the slow coach with that treble.
Okay. Must be furious.
I thought I was going to keep that record forever. Richard, look, granted two were penalties, but Lewandowski played such a part in all three goals, apart from the actual finishes themselves.
Yeah, and he played a part in the second half goals as well. I mean, he showed once again that he's far from just a finisher. Some of the link-up play late on in the game, I know the tie was over by then, but really delightful. He and Zane and Müller as a triangle today were absolutely delicious. He might have had a goal, Lewandowski, actually, inside the first 60 seconds. Müller and Zane set him up for a great chance. Philipp Kohn of Salzburg made a really, really super save. But it was the turn on 12 minutes that led to the penalty, the first penalty, the first goal of the game, that really broke open the game. He received a dipping ball in the penalty box on the half turn, spinning as he did so, taking the ball away from Max Verber, who challenged desperately to try and stop him shooting, fouled Lewandowski in the process, and he converted the penalty. But I mean, the turn was a thing of absolute beauty, and it left Verber completely exposed, as I think it would have left many central defenders, pretty much every central defender in world football, exposed. And Lewandowski converted the penalty without a care in the world. He also won the penalty with a quick reaction on the edge of the box on 21 minutes that made it 2-0, and his opportunism created the space for the third when, frankly, Salzburg were starting to panic, understandably, having conceded from a couple of misjudgments by their centre-half. So, I mean, it was a super hat-trick, but his all-round game tonight was world-class.
Yeah, and you saw the celebration, Rob, from Julian Nagelsmann, even when the fourth went in, as if he thought, OK, this is us through. And there's been, even when Bayern have won the Champions League, as they did a couple of years ago, there's always been this perhaps unfair argument that as an attacking force, they're sort of more efficient than beautiful. I think you see now under Julian Nagelsmann, it is different. Some of the interchange is more Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, Müller and Lewandowski football, in particular.
From players who, I think, again, unfairly, we know they're great goal scorers, but you don't necessarily think of them as aesthetically the most beautiful players, passing quickly, you know, players swapping positions. You saw all of that this evening. That's how Nagelsmann wants Bayern to play, and the fact they've done it in the biggest match of their season, I think, so far, is very, very impressive, and that will give him an awful lot of pleasure going forward.
Well, let's hear from their goal-scoring right wing-back, Serge Gnabry, who was pleased with the result.
Was very happy with the result today. Kind of felt like 2 years ago when we always, you know, after a goal, kept pushing, kept pressing, wanting to score more. So, yeah, it felt great today being out there. The first 10 minutes, they had two or three opportunities. Also, they could have equalised, I think, at one point. But in the end, yeah, we have Manu back in goal, who, yeah, almost saves everything. And then, of course, the two penalties. Then the third goal straight after gave us a lot of confidence. And afterwards, I think we had a very good match.
Serge Gnabry there after Bayern's 7-1 win on the night. Coming up, we're going to be looking ahead to Wednesday's round of 16 second leg matches.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moment in UEFA Champions League history. Vote now at UEFA.com/UCL feeling, and you could win tickets for the final in May and some other amazing prizes.
You're listening to Match Day Live with me, Rob Daly. The last 16 is underway and continues tomorrow night. Of course, our second leg ties. And on Wednesday, it is Real Madrid hosting Paris Saint-Germain. Chris Parrott with me. Chris, Kylian Mbappe, is he going to play? We saw, many people would have seen the footage in training where he takes that knock from Idrissa Gueye. Is he fit to play, do we know?
Mauricio Pochettino says he is. Idrissa Gueye will be very, very pleased. Of course, he was snapping into a challenge, as he should do in training, and he probably thought, oh no, I've just caught Kylian Mbappe. But Pochettino says he's fine and fit. We know he's in the squad, and he will start. And that is terrific news for Paris Saint-Germain, not so good for Real Madrid. Important, I think, the one other big team news really was who's going to play in goal. We still don't know. Is it going to be Donnarumma? Is it going to be Navas? Keylor Navas would love to play back at the Bernabeu, where he called home. And of course, from a Real Madrid point of view, Rob, I think, you know, a lot was made of the wonderful Mbappe goal, quite right in the first leg, the only goal. But the fact that Casemiro and Mendy picked up those yellow cards. That is two major absentees for Real Madrid, and Carlo Ancelotti will be very disappointed that they're not going to be available. One quote I did read from him, which I found very interesting, Robbie, he said, "We're going to put in a performance that the fans want to see." Now, that I think is telling, because in the first leg, they were very, very defensive. They were very un-Real Madrid-like, and that was fine. But at home, that quote from Ancelotti suggests they are going to be a little more attack-minded.
Yeah, and he's been playing up the difference that the atmosphere at the Bernabeu that will make on the night. Of course, Kylian Mbappe got the first leg winner after Lionel Messi had a penalty save, let's not forget, from Thibaut Courtois in that game. The other match, Sporting go to Manchester City. City 5 up, and almost certainly into the quarterfinals. But still plenty to get into here. City without Kyle Walker. We expect lots of changes, actually, don't we, from the Manchester United win at the weekend in the derby. Saw this from Ruben Amorim. Our aim is we want to have more of the ball than we did in the first leg. He clearly felt they underrepresented themselves in that first leg.
And they are a brilliant young team who have done great things, including winning the title and reaching the last 16, and they will want to give a much better account of themselves. I think if I look at the City squad and the players that could miss the first leg of the quarterfinal if they're booked, De Bruyne and João Cancelo, I wonder if we won't.
You'd be surprised if they start.
And frankly, might be surprised if we see them at all. But this is a City have a squad of over 20 top class players, so I almost think whoever plays, Pep Guardiola will demand that City win on the night. Can Sporting show the side to them that we saw in the group stage and have seen over the last couple of years? Because they have some very talented players who will want to prove a point.
They can still bring in the likes of Fernandinho, Zinchenko, Gundogan, Raheem Sterling, of course, for this one. Let's hear from Pep Guardiola, who's more wary than most of what Sporting can do in Manchester.
We don't have many players. We have just 14 players available. We have a little bit problems. The suspension for Kyle and Joao is sick, cannot play, and we are a little bit in trouble behind, and the people from back four. And of course, we have an incredible result in the first leg. We start the game with 5-0, but in the same case, it's not done. Football is unpredictable for many cases. Can be red cards, can be distractions or the quality of the opponent, and that's why we will take a top side as much as possible, we believe, and thinking, of course, people have one for many alternatives. We're going to try to do the best team as possible to win the game.
He demands the best in every single game, and he will, despite the fact his City side are 5-0 up on Sporting. Richard Kaufman across updates on that one tomorrow. And our main commentary, though, on Wednesday, the 9th of March, will be Real Madrid against Paris Saint-Germain. Paris one up from the first leg. John Bradley joined by the former England international, Leanne Sanderson. Let's turn our attention back to Tuesday's fixtures. Bayern 7, Salzburg 1, an 8-2 aggregate win. Richard Conley, our man across this one. Do you think this is any kind of statement in terms of Bayern's ambitions for the Champions League, or is it just a case of the game was what it was?
Well, I think post-match, Manuel Neuer, who was back tonight after five matches away with a knee problem, is back, clearly an inspirational character. He's referred to it after the game as a statement victory for Bayern. So whether we see it as such, the Bayern players see it as such, and that will give them a lift for the rest of the competition.
OK, I'll get your player of the match in a moment, Richard. Let's hear from Jurgen Klopp, actually, who's been speaking after Liverpool's defeat on the night, but their progression to the last eight.
They're real warriors and fighters, to be honest, and you saw it in all the situations. The goal is, obviously, we can defend the goal. It shouldn't have happened. And then it's 0-0. And how is that? We control it in most of the areas. But what we are used to and is that we are in possession, that we do more, and that we do better. And that didn't happen tonight because of the opponent and because of us, obviously. What I didn't like is counter-press was not really there. We were around challenges, but not in challenges. So in the first half, I'm not sure, for the first 20 minutes, I didn't think we won one ball back immediately. But even when we were there, it gives them then the situation they want, they need. We defended them then in the end pretty well. But you don't get a real momentum in the game. And that was what we were lacking tonight, and that's it.
The thoughts of Jurgen Klopp. OK, let's get players of the match then from our match commentator tonight, Jonathan Beck on Liverpool Inter.
Arturo Vidal. I know it was Milan Skriniar who got the official one, but Vidal was everywhere and made a brilliant block at the end as well.
And Richard Connolly.
How can it not be Robert Lewandowski?
Of course. Well, that's all we have time for this evening. We'll be back on Wednesday, the 9th of March, from 8 p.m. CET for more live round of 16 action with full commentary of Real Madrid versus Paris, as well as live updates from Manchester City versus Sporting. And don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.